Kalamazoo-born artist Titus Kaphar has work displayed in some of our premier museums, MoMA, the Whitney, the Met. But you can also find his work in a different kind of institution. One of his paintings is currently displayed at Grosse Pointe North High School, and it's causing quite a stir. The painting features a Black woman standing in a bedroom holding two infants. But the children are cut out of the image, leaving the empty space of their silhouettes. Some find it very thought-provoking or inspiring. Others have felt dismay looking at the painting and considering its meaning. Today, we're going to speak with Titus Kaphar about this particular work, his process, and some new projects he has in the pipeline. This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Do you mind starting out by telling us a little bit about this work? I know it's part of a series in which you paint portraits. Sometimes it's Black moms and their kids, but there are other people in the series too. The silhouettes of the cutout figure is sometimes blank canvas. Sometimes the silhouette is black, and sometimes there's even a face peering out. How did this idea come up for you?
So in 2020, when the entire country felt like nothing made sense anymore, and there was frustration and anger, I was going through it. I was in the studio having seen on the news another Black man's life being taken, and I felt broken, honestly. And as an artist, I try to stay positive. I try to make work that I think speaks truth. But at that particular moment, I just felt hopeless. I felt really hopeless. And for me in my practice, when things become hopeless, when things are difficult, actually whatever it is managing, I take it to the studio and I kind of try to work it out. I was having a conversation with my mother, and we were talking about George Floyd, and she was talking about her fear. She has four sons, and for her, all of her boys have gone through some run-in with police officers that could have ended as George Floyd's life has ended. I left that situation a little able to disconnect from my own pain, because I was sitting with my mother's pain, and I was trying to figure out a way to see her, a way to make sure that she felt recognized in that. So as I'm going through that, Time Magazine reached out to me, and they said, you know, you've done work that has been in our magazine before. Would you be interested in doing a cover kind of like what you did before, with a sort of whitewash thing? And I said, you know, that's just not where I am right now. And so they said, well, what are you doing? And I sent them this painting. I said, this is where I am. I'm thinking a lot about my mother. I'm thinking a lot about Black mothers specifically. This is where I am. I sent them that piece, and to my surprise, they said, yeah, let's run that on the cover. And that's where it went. And I asked them, I said, well, I've written a short piece of poetry, I guess you would call it, a statement maybe. And I wonder if it's okay if I included that. They said no at first, but then ultimately they read it and said it was okay.
Yeah. The negative space where the child in this painting, or the other figures in the other paintings, the negative spaces are so heavy. It's really hard to imagine another way that you could have conveyed that kind of weight. It's a classic example of, you know, how negative space can work. And it's just so, it's so evocative.
I appreciate that. I've been working with absence as a strategy in my painting for a long time. So much, my experience anyway, is that oftentimes what's not there tells us a lot. And at very least, it keeps us asking questions. Why is it not there? Who was there? Who took it away? Those are the kinds of conversations that I'm interested in. And so with that particular painting, I'll just read you briefly what I wrote and essentially what that absence about. This is just an excerpt. It says, this Black mother understands the fire. Black mothers understand despair. I can change nothing in this world, but in paint, I can realize her. This brings me solace, not hope, but solace. She walks me through the flames of rage. My Black mother rescues me yet again. I want to be sure that she is seen. I want to be certain that her story is told. And so this time, America must hear her voice. This time, America must believe her. One Black mother's loss will be memorialized. This time, I will not let her go.
Artists don't really have a lot of control over what happens to their work on the occasions when they're able to sell a piece. This work had hung in the Detroit Institute of Arts, and as I mentioned, it's now on temporary display at Grosse Pointe North High School. Did you know Sean Cotton, the buyer?
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely. You're right. There are many situations where we don't know where work is going to go. And I have made it to a point in my career where, you know, my work hangs in museums all around the country, in the Metropolitan, in the MoMA and Whitney and Seattle Art Museum, DIA, and all of this. But sometimes it doesn't exist in the community. Sometimes the people in the community that inspire me, that I come from, don't frequent those spaces, or when they're in those spaces, don't feel comfortable. And as a person who came to art really late, I was in my mid-20s when I figured that this is what I wanted to do with my life. The idea of being able to share my work with high school students felt right. It felt like so different from the normal experience that I have with my work, which is in a gallery with a lot of very wealthy elite people who stand around and, you know, pat me on the back. It was shocking for me to hear that there was a collector who was interested in not stealing this painting away, but sharing it with the community, sharing it with the high school. In fact, that was actually quite surprising.
Yeah, it definitely got a reaction. And as we know, in the words of the statement from the district, there were some students who found the image provocative and even disturbing. Hmm. How does that hit with you?
I think the painting asks questions. I think that the painting is challenging in many ways. I don't think the painting is easy. I wouldn't say that. It's not a still life with flowers and so on and so forth. But I think the painting reflects a truth, if not a difficult one. But I don't think that we come to solutions by shying away from the truth. I think we come to solutions by engaging in the questions that those challenges present to us. That's how we get a little bit closer to truth, I think.
Titus, do you remember being a younger person and seeing works that gave you a big reaction that really...
No. I mean, I think that's what makes the situation extraordinary. My experience, the life that I live right now, is so impossible, would have been impossible for me to imagine as a young person. I had never met a professional artist before. I make a living by making paintings and selling them. I didn't know that was a possibility. People often ask me, did you dream of this your whole life? The answer is no. I couldn't have dreamed about something I didn't know was possible. And so for me, a lot of what my excitement is around is about making other realities possible for young people. It's part of the reason why I started the not-for-profit I started.
That's right. You are part of a project called Next Haven that you teamed up with two friends to create a couple of years ago. I want to talk about that a little bit more in a bit. But before we get there, I know that you're going to be giving an artist talk at the school later this month. Mm-hmm. Have you thought at all about what you're going to say to the students?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, I know the painting is challenging in a way. And I think it's the kind of painting that requires conversation. But what I hope to tell them is a little bit about my life and my experience. And what I hope comes from that is something close to inspiration, something that maybe says to them, oh, you know, that guy came from a neighborhood very much like mine. That guy, you know, kind of looks like my brother or my uncle or so-and-so. You know, if he can do this, then maybe there is this possibility for me as well. Every talk that I give in this context is, especially with young people, that's really what I hope to do. When I gave my TED talk, it was kind of the same thing. There were 3,000 people in the room, but I was speaking to the younger version of myself who might have been inspired by a conversation like this.
Yeah. It sounds like the district is still trying to determine next steps in light of the community response. And I just want to point out that there were definitely some students who really were inspired by it, too. There was not one reaction to the painting. Do you have an idea of what you personally would like those next steps to look like?
No.
It's out in the world.
No, I don't mean it that way. I mean, I think that I want the faculty, but more so the students, to have their process. If that means the painting gets taken down, then the painting gets taken down. But I really feel like my hope is that it is a process and not simply a reaction. At the end of the day, that what is most good is that the painting goes away, I'll be disappointed. But I'll respect that. This is a circumstance that I've never even heard of before. That is to say, I've never heard of an artist, a painting that was in a museum on Monday is displayed in a high school on Tuesday. I love that as an idea. You know, we create these institutions, these museums and these galleries, and we ostensibly demand that people show up there. If you want to see the art, you have to come to us. But this is the opposite of that. This is us bringing the art to the people. So I hope that the program, which they were attempting to develop, and this just being the first of many pieces, I hope the program doesn't go away. But again, if that's the process and that's where we end, then so be it.
We need to take a break. More with artist Titus Kafar in a minute.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from Kalamazoo College, offering a personalized education that combines critical thinking, curiosity, and creativity. Committed to preparing students for meaningful careers that make a positive impact on the world. More at kzoo.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
We mentioned a little bit earlier that you are involved in this project called Next Haven, that you and friends started to try to make education and access a little bit closer to reach for artists of color. Could you tell us a little bit more about what you're doing right now?
So Next Haven is a not-for-profit that I started. It's a 45,000 square feet arts accelerator that me and my best friend Jason Price have been running for the last 5 years. We have an extraordinary team of people who work with us, but fundamentally what we do is we make art accessible to Black and Brown folks. Every year we select 7 artists and 2 curators from all over the world. Each artist gets funding, they get housing, they get a curriculum that's developed around the business of art, helping them understand the ways to manage their careers. And then the part that I'm most excited about really is our high school apprenticeship program. So every artist in our program works with a high school student who comes in regularly and meets with them. And that high school student learns about art through this mentor-mentee relationship. We work with the high school specifically in our surrounding area. Our program was in the Dixwell neighborhood in New Haven, Connecticut, a historically Black neighborhood that really needs more investment. I'm really proud of that program, and I see that program as a Next Haven itself as a model. Our plan is to do this kind of thing in communities around the country, and Detroit is where I want to go next, ultimately. And so this situation with the high school is kind of a precursor to what we ultimately want to do, which is like building relationships with high school students and encouraging them and letting them know that there are these opportunities in the art world.
You have a lot going on, but I know that you also pivoted into a film project this year. What was it like moving into a completely different medium?
It was different. I mean, to say the least. But the truth of the matter is I took it on in the same way I take on painting. That is to say, in terms of the way I make decisions about next steps is exactly the way I do it in the studio in front of a painting, or the way I do it as I was writing. But the film is about a successful artist who is struggling to balance the past and the present. He comes from Kalamazoo, Michigan, and now he's living in this sort of elite art world. And those two realities kind of smash against each other. And the film is really about that struggle and about the way in which he's attempting to make life better for his children. It stars Andre Holland. It stars Anjanou Ellis, Andra Day, and John Earl Jelks, and Ian Foreman. I'm really proud of the work that my whole crew did on this film, but ultimately it's another way of telling stories. As with all of my work, is very much narrative. And again, hopefully, it's the kind of film that our community feels themselves reflected in.
I said that it was a brand new pivot, but folks may be aware that you also did a 20-minute documentary called Shut Up and Paint, that gave people a little bit more of a window into life and work. I mean, I have to say, I mean, you obviously, since you did come to contemporary art a little bit later, it's not like a big pivot like that was going to terrify you. But Like, how do you know, like, this is something I should really throw myself into in terms of time that I might otherwise put into what I know to be a marketable skill?
If I was thinking about that, I don't know that I would have necessarily made it. From an economic standpoint, my accountant was like, "You're doing this, why exactly?" But I, my life is not, my childhood was not a pretty picture. And as I've raised my two sons, periodically they will ask me about the past. And for many years, I was like, "Well, I'll tell you when you're older. I'll tell you when you're older." This year, my oldest son and I were going on college tours together. So I think he's old enough now. But I wanted to find a way to tell the story to my children first that would help them understand me and where I come from a little bit and the community that our family is still in, and something that I hoped speaks to the joy that my children are in my life. And hopefully from this film they see how much their father adores them and you know, fights his own internal demons to make sure that they are happy and safe and cared for.
Titus, thank you so much for talking to us. We really appreciate your making some time.
No problem at all. Thank you for having me.
That's the Stateside Podcast for today. I'm April Baer. You can find full Stateside episodes at michiganpublic.org. Today's podcast was produced by Rachel Ishikawa. Other producers on our show include Mike Blank, Ronia Cabansag, April Van Buren, and our director, Mercedes Mejia. Our intern is Olivia Moradian. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis. Music for the pod comes from Blue Dot Sessions and from Audio Network. Thanks for being with us today. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow. Bye-bye.